contador, and his wife would come out. The father of the child, the mother of the child would come out. The priest, the godmother would come. Well, Mrs. herself was godmother, carrying the baby up the aisle. These are the type things that would go, we would carry forward. Then the international press came here one time. They were entertained by people from Miami, from the National Publicity Service. They gave it at the Ponce, and one of the things they gave is that I was to take documents down to show them from the rectory and from my private collection. I did this. This was done in 1949 or 50, somewhere in that area. And I carried members of St. Augustine's oldest families, carrying with them in their hand a document that related to their particular family. Then I invited members of the publicity area that would wanted to be in it to carry documentation on the earliest houses in St. Augustine. It was a very beautiful thing. They were all in costume. That was a very lovely thing. That was a type thing I did under the auspices of the St. Cecilia Club and the Historical Society. And that came ahead of the St. Augustine Easter Week Festival. It was because of that that the group of the St. George Street Parade came to me. That's how they got to me, see, to do this, and I had already become established as a genealogist. This sideline for St. Cecilia Club and Historical Society was that I had worked for the Historical Society and for the rectory, and that using the two, taking the documents from the oldest Catholic rectory, showing them to the people at the Historical Society was my job, because it could be done by me and through me, because I worked for both of them. It was double-pronged, if you can see what I mean.
Yes, very so.
Otherwise, they would have had to have somebody bring them to me and me to study them, and they would have never let them out that way, see? So I worked for one, and I worked for the other. Because I was stupid enough to be dedicated enough to do it all together, and because no one could give it that much time, that was another reason.
That's interesting. Would you mind if I ask you a few questions out of the book here?
Go ahead.
Okay. The smoke that goes up from a certain place, if you, where does the smoke go up? Like, are they having factories?
What, Nita?
The smoke, you know. Where does smoke usually go up in a man-made structure?
Oh, you mean in the old houses?
Yes.
Well, in the first place, they had charcoal burners. They burned in braziers.
Well, I believe what he's getting at is he wants the...
No, it's okay. You're bringing out terms that I'm going to ask you anyway.
Brazier in the old houses. See, there was no... Well, first, there were no fireplaces. I think the British brought in the fireplaces, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
The braziers were on the floor, and they burned coals in the braziers. That's how they heated the houses. Now, during the time of the British, I believe they would form fireplaces and they'd go up the chimney. There was a chimney. But in
this
the
is what he wanted to know. Chimney.
There's a very fine mark. It's not just chimney and chimney. We're looking for a whole span of different words. But mm-hmm. As long as you explain what you're doing, you're hitting over about 150 terms.
Yes, all right. Now, you take, for example, the early houses were made flat-roofed. And there was just a little pipe coming through here. And probably the smoke and the dust and anything else that was in the house could come out of that pipe. That was the only thing that they had. They cooked outside of their houses. See, that was the house was where you slept. Or you'd have a sala, estancia. You might have an entrance hall. They called it the sala or the living room. And then you'd have...